Ford and Google are teaming up. They're going to be working on building autonomous cars. It's not official yet. They're going to announce this in January, but the word is out there by some mechanism. Let's talk to a man that has studied what's ahead for the future of this, Levi Tilleman. He's the author of the book, The Great Race: The Global Quest for the Car of the Future. He's also a fellow at the New America Foundation. Levi, great to have you here.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. And what led you to write the book?
Well, you know, my story in the auto industry is interesting. I started in the internal combustion engine world. I was trying to make a more efficient internal combustion engine together with my father. He was an inventor, and we started a bunch of companies as I was growing up. And I got to a certain point where I realized that a lot of the automakers were much more interested in a better battery than a better internal combustion engine. And I was puzzled by that. And so I started looking into it, and I realized that the entire industry was shifting towards battery electric vehicles. And the book is partially an explanation of why that's the case and a little bit of an examination of my own journey to understand why the future of cars is actually in batteries.
So you're saying automakers have, for what, decades now, been planning for electric vehicles as our future?
Well, they've been thinking about it for a long time, but the real push started in the 1990s with the state of California, mm-hmm. when they put out some regulations that basically told the automakers they wanted to sell in California or any of a number of states that were following California's regulations, then they had to build a certain number of electric cars. And what happened was the original regulations were a little bit too aggressive, and so they missed the initial targets, and they missed targets actually again and again, but California stuck with it, and that is really the force that has ended up pushing the entire industry towards batteries.
You're saying government regulations is what's driving this?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that a good thing?
Well, you know, it depends on what you value. If you think that clean air, and if you think that fewer carbon emissions is a good thing, then I guess it's a good thing. If you are more interested in, you know, just having a hands-off approach to the market, then you might think it's a bad thing.
Huh. And now, what, Levi, what do you make of Google? Well, we know Google's been working on and Apple too, right? They're thinking about getting into the car game. What do you think of this team up of Ford and Google together on autonomous vehicles?
It's really exciting to see this merging of the automotive sector and the technology sector. I actually went out to Google a number of years ago when they were just getting started on their autonomous vehicles, and I rode around in one of these Lexuses that they had installed an autonomous system into, and it just kind of blew my mind. And to
really,
see now,
what was it like?
Well, you know, it was remarkably normal. They had put a lot of user experience effort into the vehicle so that it drove kind of like a human. There were things that the car did that it didn't have to do, mm-hmm. but they programmed it to do those things just to make it feel more like a human driver. So one example is if a big truck came up on your left side, the car would just nudge a little bit to the right. And they did that not because the car had to move to the right to be safer, but because humans feel more comfortable when an algorithm drives like a human.
Wow. So they're thinking about just subtle changes in the driving, not even just staying in the lane, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's about the technology and about making it safe, and some of it is about our perception of what feels safe.
Do you think a company like Google thinks or brings a perspective that the automakers here in Detroit, GM too, and Chrysler, that they can't think up on their own?
Without doubt. I mean, Google has been a pioneer in this space, and they have pushed farther, faster than anyone thought was possible. I start my book with an explanation of this huge exhibit that General Motors put on together with the Shanghai Automotive Industrial Corporation at the 2010 World Expo in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. And they created this kind of virtual world that flew you through a future of autonomous vehicles. And in 2010, everybody thought that looked like science fiction. In 2015, it looks like the science future, not science fiction.
I'm talking to Levi Tilleman, author of the book, The Great Race, The Global Quest for the Car of the Future. And so who, because you talk about America and Japan and China too, are we, is the U.S. winning the race right now?
You know, I think that the United States has some really terrific strengths, and one of those strengths is Silicon Valley. We also have some terrific automakers in the United States. I mean, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler are all making the best cars that they've ever made in their history, and the U.S. auto industry has seen a remarkable bounce back in the last few years. But I will say that the federal government has not done a very good job in keeping up with the pace of innovation in some ways.
Really? How so?
Well, there are a lot of issues related to infrastructure and related to electric vehicle charging standards, and frankly, soon related to autonomous vehicles that the federal government is just not on top of. See a much better job being done in California, where they are much more technology forward and the regulators have much better communication with some of the tech companies, and they are always trying to figure out what's next, not kind of defending
What about market demand? Even now, electric vehicles are just a tiny fraction of auto sales. I mean, what's the reality of the real demand for electric vehicles and autonomous ones when they come out?
The electric vehicle story in the United States is interesting. I mean, this year, the market has not grown very much. Over the past few years, you've seen a lot of growth in the EV market, but the 2015 has been relatively flat. And one of the reasons for that is what I was just mentioning. You don't have enabling policies from Washington, D.C. If you look at China, on the other hand, their EV market, their electric vehicle market, has grown by 300% this year. Okay. And that's because the Chinese have taken a strategic commitment to electric vehicles and realized that this is the industry of the future. We want to leapfrog past the United States and past the Japanese, and we're going to create proper policy incentives.
Which is what, emissions rules, that kind of thing?
They did a number of things in China. One of the things that they did is they kind of copied the state of California in creating a mandate for electric cars. So California did a mandate that applied to all vehicle sales in the state. In China, that's harder to do because they don't have quite as robust of a regulatory system. Mm-hmm. So they created a mandate for local government fleets. And they told local governments, when you buy a car, a certain percentage of those vehicles that you buy have to be electric.
Yeah. Which is funny because it's certainly not environmental because they're producing so much carbon emissions and so much soot and so on. So it's just strategic on their end, is that it?
I think on the one hand, it is strategic, and on the other hand, it is environmental depending on where in the country you are. So if you're in the south of the country, they have a ton of hydropower, they have a lot of nuclear power as well, and they actually have a pretty clean grid. If you're in the north of the country, today there is a lot of coal in the electricity mix, but China is looking to transition away from coal and towards cleaner forms of energy, and that's the really important.
That's part
thing
of it
to
too. I should note, Levi, that there was just a poll done recently here in Michigan, finding something like 80% of people said they would not trust autonomous vehicles on the road. What do you think of the transition mentally for us there?
There are definitely going to be a lot of social issues to confront as well as technological issues. There are also going to be big policy issues that we have to confront. And quite frankly, I think it's natural and it's probably a healthy human instinct that we're a little bit wary of these new technologies. But I also think that it makes a lot of sense to recognize that in the future, autonomous vehicles are likely to be significantly safer than vehicles that are driven by human drivers. You know, my father died in a car accident. His father died in a car accident.
Really?
And I catch myself doing things when I'm driving that are really just not safe. You know, I get distracted by something. I take a glance at my cell phone. Yeah. And in that split second, something catastrophic could happen. If you're looking at an autonomous vehicle, that's never going to happen because that car's job is driving.
To drive. Well, hopefully it's programmed properly. I'm very sorry to hear that. Is it just coincidental your grandfather and father died in car accidents?
Yeah, you know, my grandfather passed away when my dad was 4 years old. He was hit by a drunk driver. That's another thing. Autonomous vehicles won't get drunk, which is a huge plus. Mm-hmm. And my father was in a horrible accident where the car malfunctioned, the brakes seized up, and I'm from Colorado. The car went off the side of a mountain, and it was just a just a horrible tragedy and an accident.
Well, very sorry to hear that. I mean, do you feel uneasy driving yourself? Or?
No, I'm just fine on the road. Yeah. I like to drive. I drive a motorcycle as well as a car. My mom hates it. But,
yeah, now that's the real risk in life, riding a motorcycle.
I know.
You're not playing around. Where do you ride your motorcycle? Where are you based?
Well, I live in Washington, D.C. right now, and I have to say, Washington, D.C. is not the greatest motorcycle riding city.
Yeah. You must have had some close calls, especially in the city.
I've had a few. Yeah. I've had a few, but when I was younger, I lived in Taiwan for a while, and I had a little motorcycle that I would just ride up and down the whole island, and it was fabulous.
Hmm. It's Levi Tillman in the book, The Great Race, The Global Quest for the Car of the Future, just out this year. Levi Tillman, The Great Race. Levi, thank you.
Thanks for having me. Yep.